This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist, just a little. John the Baptist. We know John the Baptist was Elizabeth's son. And he was born basically 6 months before Jesus Christ. But one of the things that he preached when he started preaching, John the Baptist, was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And everywhere this man went, he preached repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That means repent. That means turn from the evil ways. Turn from the wicked ways of the way you're going. Repent. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. That Jesus is coming. That the kingdom of God is at hand shortly. And you know, he preached that and preached it and preached it. And one day as John was water baptizing people, it says that Jesus saw him and Jesus went to him to be water baptized. And we know Jesus didn't have to be water baptized. I mean, there was nothing, zero sin in him. He had no sin nature, you know. We have the sin nature because we've inherited from Adam and Eve. They have, because of their sin, that sin nature is in them. And then when the human race is conceived, that sin nature is in each and every one of us. You know, that's just how it is. But Jesus, being conceived the way he was by the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary and overshadowed her, they didn't have any seed or sin nature from the human race. All Mary was at that time, yes, she was his mother, human mother, and Joseph was his human father, but Mary was basically an incubator for the Savior, to be born of human race, to be born of a human, because it had to be a perfect sacrifice that would give his life for humanity. The blood of bulls and goats and sheep and all that stuff, all it did was cover the sins of the people. But the Father had a plan from the beginning of time. He just didn't come up with a plan when Adam and Eve sinned. He knew this would happen. You see, our Father knows what's going on. Our Father knows what's going on. Our Father knows what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. Our Father knows what's going on in your family. Our Father knows what's going on throughout the world. Our Father knows what's going on in our country. It's no big surprise to him. But he knows how to solve those things. He knows how to heal those things. Before every great revival that took place upon the earth, there was always prayer that went forth where God would gather his people together and a mighty move of the Spirit of God would come upon that country or come upon that community or come upon that village or that area, and then whatever would happen. But he would prepare the earth before tragedy would happen. Always. Always. You see, the earth is his. And the firmament of the above. All of it is his. He's in control. And it says that when Jesus, it says that he walked up to John as John was in the water baptizing. And he says, hey, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, oh no, we have to fulfill the scripture. And it says that John took Jesus and baptized him. And it says that when he came up that out of that water, it says the Spirit of God came upon him. Not that it wasn't upon him, but the Spirit of God came upon him. And his Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, what great words. That they all could sense the power and the presence of Almighty God. God had prepared. Before Jesus even started to preach the gospel and doing what he was commissioned by the Father to do. God had already sent John the Baptist to prepare that way for him. Always remember this. What God commissions you and I to do, God has already made a way for it. Always. Not just if or maybe or might, but when it comes to the things of God, when he speaks to you and tells you something, God has already made a way for you. He might bring people, whatever, however he wants to do it. He's made a way where there seems to be no way, because that's the kind of God we serve. That takes care of all things, no matter what's going on in our hearts and lives. As we do what God calls us to do, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. My God, what a God we serve, people. We need a great revival in our land, people, like we've never seen before. We need a touch from God, from the top to the bottom. It all starts in the church. It has to. It has to. Because that's the way God has set it up. Moving through the church and letting the church go forth and bring forth the gospel. You know, it says when Acts chapter 2 happened and the outpouring of the Spirit of God. The outpouring of the Spirit of God came upon those 120. They were filled with the gospel, with the Holy Spirit. The power of God came upon them. It says that, man, that God did miraculous and great things. You can read the book of Acts. It's talking about the actions of God. What he did. What he was doing. Then all of a sudden, later in the chapters, it talks about great persecution that came upon the church. And what the enemy meant for evil, God knew it would be for the good of the 120, the church itself. Because through the persecution that came upon the church, I mean, let me tell you, persecution like we have never seen before in our area. I'm not saying it's not happening throughout the world of destruction and killings. They're killing Christians around the world all the time, people, because they're standing up for the truth. I know we don't hear about it much, or we don't see that, you know, and we live in a kind of a secluded place, maybe a little bit, but we know the news. But Christians are the most persecuted society or organization, if you want to put it that way, in all the world. Persecuted. Where Muslims and other groups of people that hate Christians go in and slaughter. And the government does zero about it, even our own. But that's okay. We know from what the scripture says, the enemy, what the enemy tries to bring destruction, God uses it for our good. Christianity is the fastest growing, if you want to say, religion in all the world. Because of the persecution that has come upon the earth, even at this time, you see the church of Jesus Christ growing, 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 because people are looking for an answer. We have the answer. We have the answer to the ills of the world. We have the answer to the ills of society. We have the answer. You have the answer. When someone talks to you, look, time is short, people. When someone talks to you about something, let me tell you, share Jesus Christ. Share Jesus Christ. Pray with them. Help them whatever capacity, whatever way you can, because time is short. And we want to take everyone we can with us when Jesus splits those eastern skies and our soul and spirit comes together with that glorified body. Praise the Lord. When persecution came upon the church years ago after the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they spread out through almost the whole world at that time. What they did was, what the enemy tried to squash and destroy, God allowed it to happen so that they would bring what they got that day to a lost and dying world. Honestly, the enemy spread the gospel in bringing persecution, in bringing destruction, trying to. They went to all four corners of the earth. And they started to share the gospel with people that had never heard about Jesus Christ. How to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That the Spirit of God wanted to move upon them. They were getting saved. People were getting saved. Revival was happening throughout the world because of that persecution. What God may do in the next 5-10 years, we don't know. But whatever he wants to do, that's up to him. We will use every opportunity, whatever we can, to share the gospel with Jesus, with the people about Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. Talking about Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, talking about Abraham. Verse 1, it says this, "And the Lord appeared unto him," talking about Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." Now, here we see, and then it talks about in a few verses or so later than that, that there were two angels that met, and the Lord that met with Abraham. Ironic. It says in Scripture that Abraham was a righteous man because he believed God. That's ironic. That doesn't make sense. Because he believed God, that made him righteous unto God. When you take this word and you read it and you study and you believe God and his word, that makes you righteous before him. Now, we know it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and is righteous in our hearts. But because we believe God and what he has done and what he will do and what's going to happen, because we believe him, that makes us righteous before him. Before him. You might say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know the things that I have to deal with." Hey, everybody has to deal with things. But I tell you what, put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. Look to Jesus Christ to cleanse and sanctify and justify us with the power of Almighty God. And here we see these three people came in. Abraham's minding his own business. He believes God. And you know, and Abraham comes from an idolatry background too, where even they think his family, his mother and his father, made idols. But somehow Abraham got a hold to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The power of God came upon him and he looked to God, the author and finisher of his faith, to change things in his heart and to change things. And he believed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the true God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all of a sudden, he just believed. And all of a sudden, these three people. Can you imagine one day? Two angels come to your house. That's important. But the most important thing is when our Lord comes with them. That's the whole ball of wax right there. There's a difference, and we're going to look at Lot. There's a difference between Abraham and Lot. The Lord Jesus showed up at his house where he was at that tent. And things were about to happen. And I want you to turn, if you would, to in that chapter, verse 17, please. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Verse 18, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now, we'll stop right there. Now, something was about to happen, and the Lord is saying to the angels, "And should I share with Abraham?" Let me tell you this. When you stay close to the Lord, now, I'm not saying perfect people. There's no perfect people. I don't care what people say. There's zero. If there was anybody perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come. But I tell you what, we can serve him with the Spirit of God to the best of our ability, seeking him, honoring him. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And when we do that, he counts it unto us as righteousness before him. Praise God. All of a sudden, they come to his door and he's saying, shall I share with him? And he starts to share with Abraham what's going to happen. That's an amazing event, people. Now, we know some other things happened, but look at this. Because of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord God had decided to destroy it. And we better be thankful that he destroyed it. Because it would have ruined the earth at that time, and it would have ruined our society today. Because there were things going on in that society that should have never been going on at all. At all. At all. At all. Things that were horrifying and evil. Things that really can't even be spoken of. Even in a church setting, it's like, ooh, you know, it makes you want to cringe. Because of the evil that was going on in that society. And God had decided, and Abraham said, Lord, can I talk to you for a minute? Now you have to remember, Abraham's a righteous person. God calls him righteous. Look at verse 23 of that same chapter. It says, and Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there'll be 50 righteous within the city, and you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous who are therein. And he far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth be right? And the Lord said, I find in Sodom 50 righteous within this city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak upon the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous, and you destroy all the city for lack of 5. And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he, talking about Abraham, spoke unto him, the Lord, yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 and found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found. And there he found, and I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak up unto the Lord. Peradventure there will be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord sent his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Here we see Abraham. Because you see, Abraham was thinking about what was in Sodom. All the people, but he was thinking about Lot, his children, thinking about his wife. All that was there. And he got them to 50, then 45, then to 40, then to 30, and down to 20:10. See, God knows the past, the present, and the future. And he knew he couldn't find 10 there. But God was working with Abraham, saying, if you can find it, I will not destroy it. We don't realize how much righteousness plays a role in a country. You might say, well, our government's not righteous. And I'll be honest, most of it's not. Righteous means right standing with God. Okay? Right standing with God. We don't realize, but I know there's more than 10 in America that still love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. 10 people that love God, that want to do what is right, want to make things happen for the Lord. And here, because Abraham did everything he could to stop the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, down to 10 because of his love. Look, there's still hope for America. I'm not saying there's still a little dimmer of light. Still a little bit of hope, people. You might say, well, what can God do? God can do a lot. There's more than 10. As we pray and seek the face of God, and we ask God to move, and we repent of our sin and our evil. And, you know, sometimes I'll just pray, and I'll ask for forgiveness for just our country. Just forgive us, Lord, for the abortions. Forgive us for unrighteousness. Forgive us for things that are just destroying the core values of our country, Lord. Help us. And I'll just say, Lord, send another revival to America. We need it, Lord. We need a touch from you, Lord. We need a mighty revival that will touch our land and change the hearts of the people. See, revival starts in the churches. Starts with the pastors. Down to the people. Down to the country. Down to the cities and all that area, those areas, our nation, our state. We need a revival like we've never seen before. And we know this, we couldn't find 10. But Abraham said, please, please, please get Lot and that family out. And it says that two angels went to Lot's house. What's the difference between Abraham just, and Lot? Abraham had two angels, but God went too. Lot had two angels because of Abraham, and no God went with them. And it says they went to the gates of the city, and Lot saw them and brought them into his home. And you can read the story. It's horrifying what they wanted to do to these human beings. Well, not angels that took on the form of a human flesh, okay? Knocking on the door saying, we want to know those two guys. You get my drift and you get my picture? Not in a good way. And the two angels said to Lot, you need to get you, your wife, and your children out of here, because destruction, brimstone, and hell fire is coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you have to look. I looked at a map just to see where Sodom and Gomorrah was. That's two different cities, okay? That's two different cities. The Dead Sea, look at it this way. The Dead Sea was right here. The plains of Mamre, that's where Abraham was when God went to him, were on this side. Then they had the Dead Sea here. Then they had Sodom here, Gomorrah here, and Zoar, Z-O-A-R, was there. You might say, what's Zoar? What's that for? Because God let them go out when the angels told them that hell and brimstone and fire was coming upon them. They fled and they went to a place called Zoar into the mountains so that when the hell and brimstone would come, it wouldn't affect them. But you see, something happened. All four of them left. But it says his wife, Lot's wife, she turned because God said, the angels and God told them, do not turn and look at what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. Keep your eyes focused on me, God. See, that's a lesson for us too. Always keep your eyes, these eyes, and the eyes of your spirit focused upon God. And don't look back to what you once did or where you came from, okay? Don't look back at that stuff. We've all had some history back there, huh? Somewhere, we all, sin is sin. It'll bring you to hell no matter what without Jesus. Don't look back. And they said the word they used when she looked back, she kept looking back. Take a few steps and look back. They had lived there so long that they took on the morality of that city. And the only reason that they were coming out was because of Abraham. Yes. Let me tell you, one person can make a difference. Yes. One person, you can make a difference in your family. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that your prayers are non-effective. Don't ever let him tell you or believe what he says, that your prayers do not affect your loved ones, or it's not doing a mighty work. Let me tell you, if the enemy is coming to you and telling you that, that means something is happening and changing things. See, we have more power because of who we put our faith in, that when we pray and seek the face of God and we go to God, God moves mountains if he needs to. Because of Abraham's righteousness, Lot and his family were saved. Because of you, God will do mighty works in your family as you pray and seek God and give your heart to him and let him do a mighty work no matter what. See, God is working and moving. Allow him to move through you and in you. And it says they came out and she kept looking back. She take a few steps and look back. Look back. Don't look back at the world. Don't envy what the world has. Don't envy in how they live. Don't envy in what they do. Don't let your heart be captured by the world. Let your heart be captured by Jesus Christ as he makes us righteous before him continuously. You might say, well, the morality of Sodom and Gomorrah must have been horrible. Yes, it was. This is how bad it was. And I know you've read this. His two daughters, because she turned, the mother, the wife turned into a pillar of salt because she kept looking back. And her heart became hard towards the things of God. And she wanted the world. But here we see Lot and his two girls, daughters, are in the caves of Zoar. And brimstone and hellfire is being brought down. You see, let me tell you the sidebar note. Even when things look bad in the world, God can bless his people. The thing that separated Lot and Abraham was the Dead Sea. God was blessing and moving on Abraham, and Lot was being destroyed. The immorality in that two daughters, that they got their father, well, they got their father drunk. And you know what they did? And you know, they slept with their father to bring offspring, because they, and you know, they were desperate, I guess, and they needed, and they didn't think anything would, they'd have a husband. They took on the morality of Sodom. We got to make sure that we never take on the morality of the world, but that we keep the morality of the scriptures as our, not that we're better, oh my God, because if it wasn't for God, we'd all be in that place of horror. But that we take on the morality of our God, and we do, and we stand for what is right. And let me tell you, hey, look, who hasn't made a mistake, huh? Who hasn't made a mistake? And we have to go to God and ask his forgiveness. He's the God that loves us. But he always, and he does expect us to live a righteous life before him. Abraham was a righteous man because he put his faith in God. Let's just keep our faith in God, letting him put his righteousness in him, doing what is right to the best of our ability as the Holy Spirit works in us and through us because of his love for us. Abraham had God and two angels. Lot had just the two angels. We need God's intervention. We need an intervention with God like we've never seen before, people. We cannot be lulled to sleep, the church. But we need to let the fire of the Spirit of God continually work in us, taking those things out that need to be taken out. and letting God put in those things that need to be put in. Sometimes we can't see the short-sightedness of some things in our lives, but the Spirit of God knows, and He can show us. And that's what we want. Because you see, I want to be the most effective Christian that I can be. And only God, the Holy Spirit, can show me things, however way He wants to show me, of things that need to change, things that need to be put into my heart and into my life, to be a great Christian that loves God, to be a great pastor, to do the work of the ministry. See, we should never get up from that surgery table. We need to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to work in us and move in our hearts and in our lives. Letting the Spirit of God change us like He's never changed anybody ever before. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you and I. Show you, because you and I ask the Holy Spirit to show me things that need to change. Or things that need to be worked on. You know, hey, because we're all a work in progress, huh? We're no one's perfect, but we all are in a work of progress. Thank God for His mercy and His grace that continues to work in us and helping us to be the people that He desires and wants us to be. The power of Almighty God. Amen. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's take on the righteousness of our God.